It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
Always something to learn.
The more real and truthful you can get with yourself, the happier you're going to be.
Nothing happens in a comfort zone.
There are no set rules on how to attain success and to feel fulfilled.
Each one of us are born with a purpose.
For me, I knew there was something bigger.
You don't conquer the mountain, you conquer yourself.
I'm Crystal Bauer, wellness expert and entrepreneur. Each week, I'm speaking with incredible individuals, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
So everything happens at the right time, like the Marie Forleo thing. I think that's a perfect example where we've had people say no to us. We've had opportunities fall away. We've had, just things happen through the business that have always happened at what we didn't perceive to be the right time, but have always ended up working in our benefit.
I'm so excited for today's episode with Krista Williams, one of the hosts of the Almost 30 podcast. And Almost 30 podcast is incredibly popular. They've had over 12 million downloads. If you've been going through a transition in your life, if you're looking for more, if you're not quite feeling fulfilled, this is the episode for you. We're going to help you navigate those life transitions. Also, if you've been experiencing any struggles with self-confidence or navigating how to deal with hearing no or getting rejection, this is also going to be a wonderfully valuable episode to support you in navigating those life challenges and really boosting that self-esteem. So let's dive into the conversation. I'm so excited to welcome Krista Williams to the show. So Krista, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it. I love entrepreneurial talks, anything that we're going to talk about. I'm really excited.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping that you can start just by giving me a little bit of a background on how you went down the path of starting Almost 30 podcasts. Your show's doing super well. You know, that's such a huge shift from what I can understand from what you were doing before that. So if you could just give a little background, that would be fantastic.
Oh yeah, of course. Hi guys, I'm Krista. And you know, it's only now being in the position that I'm in with Almost 30 that I realized that my career makes sense. So I grew up in the corporate world. I was in for like 8 years. I was in Chicago. I was in New York, and I was trying all these different jobs, but none of them felt like they really fit. And none of them felt like me. I was always kind of rebellious at heart. So some of the things at work and jobs really just like frustrated me as an entrepreneur. I was in consulting, then digital marketing and events. But the whole time I was in my corporate job, because I was so unhappy and unfulfilled, I was always trying different things. So I tried and built a travel company based out of New York. I was blogging for a while. I would go and learn classes on the weekend. I was really just trying to do and figure out all these things because I was so determined to find my passion and my purpose. I felt like this was like burning desire to find it. But when I moved to Los Angeles from New York City, I had been auditioning for SoulCycle. So I found SoulCycle and I was like, maybe this is my calling. I'm going to do this. I'll try to be a fitness instructor. I didn't get the audition. And during the time of the audition, I was like, I think I want to get connected to an instructor to help me with my second audition. I didn't get the first one. So I was like, I'll audition again. Lindsay Simsek, who's my podcast co-host, happened to be that instructor that I connected with about my second audition. And although I didn't get SoulCycle, we connected and we just had this really special bond and friendship in our conversations that I hadn't had with anyone else. We were talking about finding our purpose. We were talking about careers, talking about relationships, talking about health, wellness, so many different things. And I realized when I met her that I wasn't alone and feeling like I wanted to find this purpose. I wanted to find this calling and this reason for being alive. And we started to record our really messy, like random raw conversations and eventually launched Almost 30 podcasts 4 years ago. And since it's grown into a brand, you know, we host retreats, we have a membership and all these different things, but really I'm just someone that's been a constant seeker and has always pursued my purpose and passion over anything else.
That's awesome. And I think it takes a lot of courage to start something new like that. I mean, what it sounds like to me is like you were having fun along the way, like you were doing it with a good friend. And I think sometimes that's how some really amazing things start, is when there is that kind of playfulness and openness. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And And yes, I completely agree. We had no intention for it to be anything. We had no intention for it to be our full-time jobs, for us to have a team, for us to do whatever we're doing, tour, et cetera. And we really just had like the heartfelt enjoyment of talking to one another and connecting and creating and doing. And I almost think that because I didn't have any pressure on Almost 30 to be my full-time job, to be my purpose, to be my passion, that it was able to really grow into what it was. And a good example of that is when I moved to Los Angeles from New York City, I quit my full-time job. So in Los Angeles, I tried to pursue blogging full-time. And I was like forcing blogging to happen because I wanted it to pay my bills. And it just didn't work out because I was almost like forcing this thing to be something that it wasn't. And so when we really enjoy something and we let it be what it is over time by giving it time and space and love, it just ends up being so much better.
Yeah, like takes the pressure off. I know. Yes. I think I made a big career change. Like I was going through some similar things, right? Of like, I had gone down the path of being a physician assistant. I was practicing traditionally in medicine. Then I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time. And then I went back into the workforce and I was like, my brain and my experiences and everything wasn't all about traditional medicine anymore. Yes. I was like, in my heart, I was more interested in like holistic things and the mind-body connection and meditation. And, you know, but I went back into practice and I learned a ton, but it took like really reflecting and trying to figure out like what got me excited, like what sparked joy in me. And there was a lot of seeking there. And what I've now with starting my business and, you know, trying to share my message on a wider scale and all the stuff that I'm doing, it was more of like, I didn't have a set plan, but I had a feeling like if I just go in the direction of what I love doing, it'll fall into place. You know, like, I think it takes a lot of trust to do that though. It's kind of like, for me, it was like a trust in something greater than myself. Like I'm just gonna take one step in front of the other. And interestingly enough, you know, for me at least, like things started to fall into place. I don't know if you felt like that was your experience.
Yeah. It's now that I'm more consciously aware of things falling into place, I think, I don't know if you feel the same, but I feel like I've now trained myself to realize when things are falling into place. So as an example, I'm making a tarot deck, and the designer emailed me before I even thought of what the deck design was and said she wanted to work with me on any project. I met someone randomly that actually has made decks, so she's supporting me in the process. So now I'm consciously aware of how that works out. But I think that there's like such an art to that, and there's such an art to non-resistance to change. Like for so many people, they're so scared of, you know, being in medicine and then being a stay-at-home mom because they're scared of like what that looks like to others. And then going back into traditional medicine, but not feeling aligned with it and being afraid of what that might look like to others. And there takes courage, like you said, to really being honest with yourself and being in flow with the way life is going rather than resistant to the change that is happening. And, you know, it does take a lot of courage to do what I did for sure, but I felt like me taking the courage to do the side hustles, to try the things, to look silly, to look stupid, to look like it made no sense to no one else, made so much more sense to me than being deeply unhappy for most of the time. I feel like the act of courage takes more energy at one time to make the decision, but most people in corporate jobs or in jobs have this low level pain or dissatisfaction or just sadness that I felt like was more draining than actually the courage it took to do something about it.
Right. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And what I'm finding, and I've been talking with different people about this, is like linking whatever you're doing to what you truly value, like that inner spark, that like inner motivation. And if you can link whatever job you're in, you know, even if maybe it's not your ideal dream job, if you can link what you're doing to something that is truly important to you, that I think can bring about so much more satisfaction. Cause it's like, then you're giving it purpose. You're giving it meaning. It's like part of your greater mission in life. And for me, like this big shift happened after my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And that experience for me kind of, it woke me up. And it was like all of this nonsense I've been afraid of, like all of this crap about like, oh, what if someone judges me? What if I look stupid?
Yes.
I was like, I could care less. Like that in the picture, it doesn't matter. And, you know, sure, that still creeps in. 100%. Like I'm human, but that just that mindset shift from that like big, you know, life experience, it changed, it seriously changed my life. And it made me put myself out there and not be afraid of it, you know? 100%. And I don't know if that's how you feel, like kind of also being in the public eye, like it's a, you know, podcasting and doing all the things that you're doing. I think there has to be a level of just, I don't know if, I think confidence can be built, but kind of more of like, of, I guess, separation from really caring what everybody else thinks. Like, I think I still do, but it's like, I don't let it dictate my decisions. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's huge. And I'm actually, that's something I'm really working on this year. And I want to talk more about that, but there's something you said that I think is really important. And that was, you know, when your mother was diagnosed with cancer, how that you kind of turned and were like, who cares what people think? Like, this is what's really important. And this is what's really impacting me. And I think it's interesting because you had a choice then. You could have shut down and, you know, been really depressed and really sad. There's like a fork in the road whenever you have those really traumatic situations, and your choice was the one that most served you, you know, and people can choose whatever they want. But I think people have this fork in the roads a lot, and you could really have gone the other way and really just shut down and sort of, you know, made that traumatic event dictate a lot of the rest of your life out of fear. But for, yeah, caring about what people think, I think most of my life, I've cared less about what people think than most people, because I felt like at a very young age, I wasn't really receiving the sort of like love, attention, and affection from my parents that I think I sought and desired. So at some point when I was little, I just remember being like, fuck it, I don't care. You know, like a little rebel, I kind of had this like trauma response of being like, you know what, who cares what people think? I'm going to do whatever I want and, you know, kind of rock on in that way. So there definitely is negative sides to it, but it really has served me so much in my life where I'm really just focused on what I'm doing, you know, who I love, who I can be and who I can serve rather than like what people are saying about me. And I'm always reminded when I see something negative that something says about me online or whatever, I'm like, oh my gosh, I forget that there's people that are listening and thinking bad things about me. It's like, I'm so caught up in my work and like creating the thing that I want that I can't even imagine being someone that's listening to someone else's art, creation, life, purpose, passion, and then judging them for it or condemning them for it or shaming them for it. And so when people think that way, you know, there's a lot more going on for them than just their reaction to me or their reaction to someone else. So you just gotta pray. But I think I've been born with the ability to not care, but I also really work on it really hard. And I'm leaning more into that this year.
Right. You know, I totally get where you're coming from. I think when you're in a good place and you're trying to put out things to help others and you're living your purpose, for a better word, you're feeling inspired. It doesn't make sense to, you know, you would never do anything like that.
Never.
Right? And so it's like, why do people do that? And I think it really is just a reflection of where they're at in their lives. And, you know, for me, like working with a lot of people one-on-one who are struggling with a lot of different things. I was in integrative psychiatry for a while when I went back to work. I went into, and then I became an integrative medicine fellow. But what I realized is just like people who do that, they're hurting, you know, they don't feel good about themselves for whatever reason. And then there's comparison. So that has helped me, I guess, have more compassion. Where I know I got my first like negative thumbs down or something. And I was like,
welcome to the club.
Like, oh my gosh, I thought it was such a wonderful interview. And I just kind of started laughing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to send them some good vibes. And I'm a big meditator. So I learned like the metta meditation where like the loving kindness meditation. So I just was like, you know, I wish them peace and I don't know, it made me feel better.
Yeah. You got to do it. And sometimes I'll listen to just things like clips from people that are really big, that are like big celebrities. Like as an example, I was listening to something of Will Smith the other day, and Will Smith was talking about how at least once or twice a month he'll be sued. Like he says, I think I get sued maybe 20 plus times a year by people that I don't even know, by people that I've never talked to, I've never seen. And he's just like, it's just something that I have to just kind of see as like a day in the office. It's like, whatever, there's like another person that's potentially giving you a thumbs down or potentially responding to your creation or art or a podcast in a way that you didn't want. But it's like, the bigger you get, you have to get better about letting those things not affect you, because you're just reaching more people, and more people have issues, projections, you know, whatever it is, or can, you know, perceive your art in a different way. So I just sometimes see it as like, it's kind of par for the course, and I really need to learn to like actually be completely neutral, because the more I'm neutral, the bigger I'll be able to expand beyond any like reaction to the negativity. Cause that's really keeping me in the same energy as the negativity. If I'm like, oh, that's bullshit, or like, that's not true, or like, whatever. It's like, it's actually feeding the energy rather than rising above it.
Right. And no, I get it. I mean, I think it just, it depends on what it is too. Like, it can be harder sometimes, you know. I think one thing I wanted to talk to you about too, and I'm sure that you've experienced this with the growth that you've had, is dealing with rejection and dealing with no. Cause when I first started my show, I don't know, I had this idea. It was just going to be like, everyone would say yes if I asked them to come on. Like, so what? I ask a celebrity for like, you know, to be my first guest. Like, why, you know, I've got a great mission. Why would they say no? And the first, you know, no I got, I was like, stings a little, you know, and then you get more, and then you get the yeses, and then things, you know, life supports you. But I'm curious how you've dealt with that, because that's definitely been a journey for me.
Yeah. I think for our first really big no, I remember Marie Forleo. I think we were like a year in, and we emailed Marie Forleo, and we were like, please come on the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And said in the most gracious way, like, no, like, this isn't a fit. You guys aren't really like, this isn't going to work. And then 3 years later, or maybe 2 years later, you know, we pitched again. We're like, let's see Marie, if she's going to come on. And she ended up coming on. And, you know, I thought back to myself, like, if I would have had her on our first year in, I don't know if we would have had half as good of an interview. We wouldn't have been as prepared. We wouldn't have had as many questions. We wouldn't have been able to be as professional, all these things. So I was just really reminded how truthful it is that timing really is everything. And having her on later just provided such a better product and a better impression than if we were a year in. And then with no's, I always remember too, I'm like, when I think about myself, I'm reading emails when I'm walking into the grocery store, when I'm walking around my house, when I'm like, you know, doing all these things. And sometimes I will look at an email and forget about it because I just answered the phone, or I just talked to a friend, or I just made dinner. So I often think about those times where it's like, I just think there's so much weight to something. I asked this person I admired, and I wrote this long letter, and I asked them to be on this show. And I might've been the email that they last read before workout class, and they kind of forgot about after, and that we put so much personal weight on our, you know, requests of people. And really, people are just living their lives, and you really have to be mindful too. And I always had to be mindful of like, when, and I can be more aware now of our schedule. It's like, you can't always, and we know this from a boundaries perspective, just be letting everyone in all the time. And sometimes there's seasons of it, and sometimes there's not. So I think it's hard, but now I just kind of know that everything is right at the right time. And I try and just focus more on the wins of that we have than the losses, and making sure that when I am reaching out, it's very personal, it's very thoughtful, and there's like a true reasoning to having them versus like feeling like they are big or they're a celebrity or whatever.
I want to take a quick pause from the episode to share some incredibly valuable information with you. You know, all of us struggle with being overworked or overwhelmed at one point or another. And, you know, life's busy. So finding time for self-care and stress management can be tricky, which is why I spent hours compiling the best of the best to solve this problem. And I want to offer to you right now for free. I put together the top 10 stress management tips for the overworked individual. If this is you, you need to download this right now. There is a link in the episode details, and you can also access it at livegreatly.co.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. For me in the beginning, I had a hard time saying no myself. So realizing that, and now having, you know, I'm still working on it, but getting really comfortable with saying no, like I think my like health, the healthcare profession of wanting to heal and help, like that was always really hard for me. Yeah. But like you said, it's like you only have a certain number of hours in the day. And as you do grow and things happen, like it makes sense. You're not going to be able to say yes to everybody. And you could do it in a, you know, in a nice way. So it definitely has gotten easier, but it's still something that I need to work on.
Oh, yeah. I know, because it's your baby and you're like, I'm so, and especially when you're so mission driven, you're like, oh, but the mission, but the mission, but the mission. And yeah, I think over time, you'll be like way more comfortable.
No, exactly. It's all about perspective, you know, and I want to talk a little bit too about confidence, because I think confidence can be built. And I really think it's something mm-hmm. people can develop and work on. Like I look back and I used to be petrified of public speaking and who knows why, like I just had assumed like, it made me uncomfortable. So I was like, I'm just not going to do it. And then, you know, with that whole experience with my mom's diagnosis, I was like, I'm going all in. I'm just going to start teaching and lecturing. And then now I love it. But I'm curious if you have any thoughts on building confidence, if you found things that have worked for you with your show and your journey.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, as far as building our confidence, I've learned to really be mindful of who I surround myself with. And, you know, that was a hard transition for me to go from living in Chicago, where I had this like life set out for me of working in this job and being in this relationship and being with these friends pretty much forever. And I was like, you know, there's something inside me that I need to listen to a little bit more than what I believe society wants me to do. I had to do that again in New York and then again in LA. But I found these friendships and these relationships of people that have been so deeply supportive and have seen me that it's really helped me to build confidence in myself when I feel like I didn't have any. You know, I am super mindful of my circle, and it's beautiful because a lot of them are healers because of our podcast. So I have this amazing opportunity to help really see myself through their lens and through their mirror and have them help build me confidence. So for anyone listening, I think just thinking about in your life consciously, you know, even on a walk or in the car, of who makes you feel like the best version of yourself, who makes you feel like that version of yourself that you want to be, and who really sees you in the way that you want to be seen or helps you express yourself in the way you want to express yourself. So I think always fine tuning so that we are in putting ourselves in the best position to be confident, you know, because we're surrounded by people that also believe in us is really important. And then I think I built a lot of confidence by doing things that a lot of people weren't doing. So it was like, I was going against the grain and I was doing it for myself. So by making decisions and doing things that are working best for me and me only, that's helped me build confidence in myself because I know I always have my back. So that meant not drinking, you know, for like 5 years. I stopped drinking when I was like 25 to 30. And now I maybe drink twice a year. No one was really doing that. You know, Chicago, people love to drink, they love to party. And so that was very different. But I knew in my heart that that was something that I needed to do. So I did it. That was also quitting jobs before I was ready, you know, because I knew that there was something going on, or trying for SoulCycle, which kind of seemed crazy at the time, but I knew that I needed to do something that eventually brought me closer to my dream. So I think those two things, and just knowing that confidence is built, like you said, as a muscle over time that you really do need to tend to, and can be built with tiny decisions as much as it can be built with big decisions.
Yeah, I love that. I think definitely who you surround yourself with is huge. If you're around people who you don't feel good around, yes, or in a workplace that, you know, doesn't make you feel your best, then and if that's the case, like you really have to crank up all the other things that you're doing, I think, to build your confidence. But ideally being around people that lift you up, I think that is so, so critical. And you know, there was research too that I've seen that like someone who's anxious, it can make you feel anxious. So we're very, I guess, empathetic beings, you know, we can feel how other people are feeling based on the way they're talking and the way they're interacting, and it can rub off on us.
100%, completely. Yeah, the energetics, it's like there's 1% of what we can see with our eyes and 5 senses, but then there's like 99% of the world that we can't see with our 5 senses that exist. So that's like energy and that type of thing. And that has to do so much with it.
Right, right. What I'm hoping we can talk about a little bit is your show. And I would love to hear just someone like the top things you've learned from your show. I know you've been doing it a while. You've talked with a lot of really great people. Do you have any like big I don't know, life lessons that you've learned or anything that you want to share that you have found really inspirational for you.
I'd love to hear yours too of so far.
Yeah, of yours.
So Almost 30 has been around for 4 years now, a little over 4 years. And what I've learned a lot from doing the show, I think one thing that I've definitely learned is that as much as a topic or subject matter can be interesting to you, if like, this has to do with the art of interviewing, I guess. If someone is like coming into the situation or conversation and they're not excited, they don't want to be there, they're not a good interview, they're not like energetic, it can just completely have the conversation fall flat. And we haven't had that a lot, but being on the side of the receiver of interviews and the giver of interviews, I've really realized how powerful it is to like be fully engaged, be excited, like be thoughtful in your replies, like actually energetically want to be there as much as you are there. And, you know, some of our very best interviews that I can think of were not of the biggest people in the world, but of people that truly wanted to be there and were like genuinely with their heart wanting to be there. And those interviews are more well received than any other interview, even if it's a smaller name. And people can feel even the energetics through the sound of a conversation that people want to be having and people are excited to be having. So as an example, you know, if it's a conversation between myself and Lindsay and maybe one of our friends who doesn't have a big following, doesn't really have a big platform. And because we love each other so much and the energy in is there, it will be better received than maybe one that we're doing an interview of a stranger. Mm-hmm. So the energetics of wanting to be in a conversation is always powerful. And then always that, you know, everything happens at the right time, like the Marie Forleo thing. I think that's a perfect example where we've had people say no to us. We've had opportunities fall away. We've had, you know, just things happen through the business that have always happened at what we didn't perceive to be the right time, but have always ended up working in our benefit.
Mm-hmm. Right. In retrospect, you can look back and it's, there's mm-hmm. always those things like, okay, well, if that hadn't happened,
yes.
this would happen. Like you can put yes. it together when you look back. I know I totally relate. And I totally agree about that, like connection aspect.
Yes.
I have felt that too. There have been some interviews where they're just easy. It's natural. Like you connect with the person. It's wonderful. And then there are others where, for whatever reason, there's just not that natural flow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what I've learned too, is that connection is just so important and like building relationships. And that's my favorite thing I think about podcasting is just being able to talk with interesting people and have some like great, you know, great conversations and build connections and relationships.
Cause yeah, for me, it's like, the best.
Right. And like a lot of people that I've interviewed too, like I stay in touch with and it's mm-hmm. just, it's fun.
It's cause you make a real connection. I mean, think about it. It's like, this is a deeper conversation than maybe we would have potentially had if we would have just met at a party. You know, at a party, you're like, where are you from? What do you do? Yes. Blah, blah. And you kind of have like the script that we go through. But when you're podcasting, you're like, tell me about your mom. Tell me about your hardest challenge. Tell me about, you know, you just get really, really deep. And for me, I've always been like a really deep person. It was actually really hard for me most of my life because I was like, why is everything so surface? Why is everyone just bullshitting all the time? And so when I finally felt like I had an excuse to go deep with people, it just changed my life.
Gosh, I totally relate to that. I haven't thought about this in a while, but I always was like a little uncomfortable with small talk yes. just because I felt like, let's have a real conversation, you know? Mm-hmm. And I totally. Always someone like, I wanted to have like, I don't know, a deeper conversation yes. early on with people and not everybody's comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Just want the truth. You know, you just want, that's the whole, I'm just obsessed with truth. I just wanted people to be truthful. I wanted to be truthful. And sometimes now I appreciate small talk because I understand like the art of it to get mm-hmm. to deepness. And I yeah. understand that people aren't always ready for it, but I think when you can feel a connection that feels deep and meaningful, it's hard to like go back and not have connection like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So on that note, like if there are people listening who really maybe are interested in podcasting or maybe mm-hmm. they have never thought about it and now they're like, oh, that sounds like something maybe I could share, you know, my insights with the world or whatever, or talk to cool people or interesting people. You guys have done such a great job with growing your show. And I know you have a program too, I think, as far as podcasting. So I'm curious if you have any tips for people if they wanted to do a podcast, grow a podcast and be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you know, we can look at your story as an example too, where it was like your calling, you didn't have any pressure on it and you just did it. And now it's like your thing and you have a really strong and clear mission. I think that's probably the first thing is having a clear mission. But even to go back a little bit further, I think what stops people is, you know, first of all, hearing their voice from a technical perspective. So I always suggest that people take their iPhone or their phone and just record themselves talking on their phone to practice what it feels like to be recorded. It's kind of a weird thing, but if you just have a conversation or say some things and kind of get used to recording yourself or hearing your voice recorded, it really, really helps build confidence in hearing your voice on the microphone, because that's really what stops a lot of people. And then I would also say that it's just a lot more work than people think. And I think people can see and hear a podcast. They're like, oh, that was an hour long and all they did was talk. And that was so fun. Like, I can talk, I can have conversations. And of course you can talk and have conversations, but there's really a lot of skill involved in understanding the production, in understanding the technical aspects, in understanding your voice and tonality and how to be charismatic and how to portray and convey a point. And then there's also the promotion aspect of it. You have to promote your show. You have to, you know, do the marketing. You have to like make it grow if you want it to be something that lasts. So it's actually like an entire job or side hustle in itself. So I think when people are thinking about doing a show, to really think about how you'd fit this into your workflow. When could you make time for doing this? And how committed are you to doing this? And do you want it for the mission of serving people, of sharing stories, of whatever? Or do you want it for the recognition? I think a lot of people can see like maybe almost 30 as an example, and they can be like, oh, that looks cool. Like they can do this, they can do that, like blah, 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 blah. But really it's like, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes to make it look like that and to make it be perceived as that, that you really have to be so focused on the mission that like whatever happens as the outcome doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. Cause it is a lot of work. So you have to love it. Like it has to be something so much that you absolutely love for it to make sense, you know?
Yes. Totally. And just as a last thing too, I always think about, you know, in 2021, it's just, I don't know what the word is. It's not a bummer, but I just think about whenever people are thinking about creative outlets or ways to express themselves or side hustles, it's almost like because of digital media, we always think about, you know, just very few things. We're like, I should start a blog. I should start, you know, a podcast. I should start a YouTube. And they're just very limited in what actually people create versus like the spectrum of creativity that people actually have. Like, yes, podcasts are cool, but maybe your heart and your calling is to do art, or maybe it's gardening, or maybe it's, you know, so many other things people could feel more fulfilled through a creative expression than just like everything that has to do with production and media.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I've been thinking myself like, okay, how can I kind of expand? And I'm like, do I want to write a book? And I'm talking with someone about that. And that's like on my list. I'm talking with someone about making a docuseries. I'm like, that would be cool. So I'm starting to expand and kind of think outside the box a little bit. Or I should say a lot of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Well, this has been fantastic. So how can people find you, find your show, sign up for all the cool stuff you're doing? I don't know if you guys are doing retreats now, but maybe you can just give a little bit of info about what you guys are up to.
Yeah, we just had to unfortunately cancel our beautiful Malibu retreat, which is such a bummer. Just because of everything going on this year, we want to make sure everyone's safe. But if anyone wants to start a podcast, Lindsay and I just put everything that we learned through starting Almost 30 and monetizing Almost 30 into Podcast Pro. So at almost30.com/podcastpro, you can find our courses and programs there. And then Almost 30 just on all socials and anywhere you listen to podcasts. We have episodes on spirituality and wellness, and we just try and keep it really real and honest and fun.
I love it. So check it out. We didn't really talk about wellness or spirituality, a little spirituality,
but yeah, it's always like, in there.
I mean, those are like my favorite things too, you know? So I think everybody would definitely love your show. So thank you so much for being on. It was super fun.
Of course. Nice to be here.
Take care.
It was wonderful spending time with you today. Just one quick ask. This information is incredibly important to more than just you. So think of just one person today that you can share this episode with, and together we can spread this message that you don't have to sacrifice your well-being to attain success to others who need it. Valuable episodes like this one are published weekly so you and others can have the benefit of reaching your ultimate potential. So click the share button, get this episode into the hands of just one person you know who would gain great value from it. I will see you next week.